are all miracles and must make the most of our limited time here. Each of us have these unique gifts to contribute, and it's our job to develop these gifts and give them away. The preschool SLP is about working smarter to create real change in ourselves and in others. Being an SLP is a mission. Let's discuss topics that matter. What are the game-changing strategies? How can we treat the whole child? How can we create the shiniest versions of ourselves and of our clients? We're here at the drawing board for a reason. Together, let's create better. If you work with children, and when I mean if you work with children, if you work with any child whatsoever, this is the episode for you, because we are going to talk about the single most powerful teaching strategy that you can use, period. And the body of evidence supporting this strategy continues to grow and grow and grow, and showing that if you're teaching using this strategy that we're going to talk about today, we're going to dive in. You're going to get better gains. You're going to appeal to a diverse number of learners, and the learners are going to develop the skill at a higher level of automaticity and fluency and mastery. So this is the skill that we're going to talk about today that you're going to want to use with every single child that you work with and in every single subject matter that you're teaching. So for instance, what I'm going to talk about today, I use this strategy when I'm teaching speech. I use this strategy when I'm teaching language. I use this strategy for augmentative communication. I use this strategy for executive function. I use this strategy for fluency. So every single child on my caseload, this is the active ingredient strategy. This is the secret sauce that is going to get you optimal gains. So drum roll, please. What is the strategy? Multimodal cueing. Now, I want to tell you what I mean by multimodal cueing. I mean, use your body and marry the body movements at the same time simultaneously with speech, with emotion on your face, with vocalizations. We're going to marry together the facial expressions, the speech, the sounds, the movements. The larger, the more dramatic, the better. And these are movements that you can have just made up all by yourself, that nobody even uses these gestures. That doesn't even have to be sign language. This can be your own unique way in which you move your body. But if you buy into it, the child will buy into it as well. I can attest to this because when it comes to gestures, I've worked with over 50 graduate interns side by side. I've always encouraged them to develop their own set of gestures. They're using their gestures, and the next turn the child's working with me, I'm using a different set of gestures. There's been no confusion. We've been highly effective. We all don't need to move our body in the same way. You can dance as you dance, but just buy into it. If you don't buy into it, the child won't either. What I wanted to share with you about gestures is the latest research on multimodal cueing. What we know from the past is we know that multimodal imitation, for instance, if I say, I'm so angry, and I make claw hands, and I make an angry face, like a kind of a lion's roar. And I know that if the child says angry as well, that's called multimodal imitation. Now, we know from the past that children with autism that imitate these sort of multimodal cues, these are the children that are going to have higher communication skills than those who don't imitate the multimodal cues. We also know from the past that children with language impairment that imitated those multimodal cues. So for instance, if I said, if I'm happy and I need say, hurrah, hurrah, and the child says, hurrah, and they lift their hands up too and say, hurrah, These are the children that are going to do better, the children with language impairment that are imitating my multimodal. Now, interestingly, in the research, if I had an object like a drum and I told the child with autism, do this, boom, 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 to hit the drum, and the child with autism went boom, 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 and hit the drum, that imitation with objects didn't have that connection to communication gains. And this current study that I'm going to share with you today, this is the latest study of 31 neurotypical preschoolers. These children do not have a speech and language impairment or are not identified as having any impairment whatsoever. They found the same thing. When you took objects, so if you had like a doggy and you said, pet the dog, and the child had a stuffed dog and they pet their dog, that didn't have a connection with the child's communication skills or the child's social skills or the child's narrative abilities. But what did is the child imitating the multimodal cues with multimodal imitation. So if I said, pretend you're a dog, pant like a dog, and the child went and panted like a dog with its paws up, this is a child that's going to have stronger social, language, and narrative skills. Why this research is so exciting that's coming out is they're not just finding that children with language impairment or children with autism are benefiting from multimodal imitation tasks in which the teacher is presenting items in a multimodal manner, but so are the neurotypical children. This research-based concept just keeps growing and growing and growing. There's latest research that's coming out that's saying that parents that use a lot of gestures when they're talking with their children, these are children that have higher cognitive and higher language and higher socialization scores. The research just keeps growing. And what we know is this is something that every child benefits from. And not only do they benefit from it across developmental domains, there's a cascading impact in which you're seeing growth in multiple areas, particularly in language development. It's more than that because they're also learning more quickly. They're remembering what they've learned, and they're learning it to a more automatic and fluent level because they're not just using one sense to learn, they're using all of their senses to learn. This is just good practice. And what you want to do is everything that you teach, teach it multimodally. I know for myself as a speech pathologist, I became very good at speech and multimodal speech cues. That's why I have that clinical textbook out, The Speech Sound Disorders, and there's tons of cues in that. And then I became amazing at language cues. And then I became wonderful at narrative cues. Currently, I'm working on my cueing with broad-based augmentative communication devices. I don't want it to be like the object imitation, like I explained to you before. I don't want the device to be like, do this, and you did what I did. I want to think about how can I incorporate in the best and meaningful manner multimodal cueing with augmentative communication, with the broad-based devices that I'm using. So I'm using the iPad with thousands of words pre-installed. And I'm trying to find a way to do the multimodal imitation, multimodal cueing component within the use of the device. And the reason it's been a challenge for me is because I kind of feel like I'm chewing my gum and I'm rubbing my belly at the same time. I'm trying to figure out and develop automaticity with the device myself and where are all of these words located to an automatic level so that I'm not focusing my attention on that. And instead, I'm focusing my attention on the interaction. And I'm also focusing on all of these rules that I'm learning and becoming LAMP certified. Follow all the rules, and you can't break the rules until you know the rules. You get a lot going on. You kind of feel like an octopus. But I do feel that that's my latest challenge is how do, because I know that the more multimodal I get with augmentative communication, the more effective I'm going to be at it. And the children are going to learn it more quickly and memorably, and they're going to become more fluent with it. So I'm always learning, which is always fun. I'm always being challenged. I'm just honest with you about my current challenge areas. So next month, I'm going to be in speechpathology.com for Autism Awareness Month. And I'm so excited about that because there's going to be four presentations. And the first presentation is going to be on speech development. And the second presentation is going to be on augmentative communication. The third presentation is going to be on how to develop task-oriented movement activities. And the fourth one is going to be on how to improve language and literacy skills. All of those areas are going to be using multimodal cueing. The multimodal cueing, that is the evidence-based practice, and everything else will follow. But that is going to become the active ingredient if you want to create optimal change, not just for children with impairments, but for every single child you work with. And the better you get at multimodal cueing, the better your outcomes will be. Make sure to join me at speechpathology.com next month. So for the month of April, I'm going to be live every Thursday at 12 noon Eastern time. You are not going to be disappointed. During this time in my podcast, I can't show you all of the cues and how you do use multimodal cueing in each of those different areas. I can tell you that the multimodal cueing is different. The concept is the same, but I do have different multimodal cues that I use with each of the areas. When I'm doing language and literacy, those cues are different than the speech cues, which are different than the augmentative communication cues, which are different than the cues that I use with social emotional literacy. They're a different set of cues, but the concept is the same. When you have that concept mastered, that procedure, you go from there and you focus on being present and being in the moment and having this toolbox that you keep growing of effective strategies. If this cue doesn't work, I have another cue I can pull out of my toolbox. So I'm excited. Make sure to not miss that. In the research article, I want you to check out because I think this is a seminal work. It was originally published in 2021, but the Journal of Child Language just made this free open access. And this article is called Narrative Performance and Social Pragmatic Abilities in Preschool Children Are Linked to Multimodal Imitation Skills. This article is just gold. It is so good. It's going to be in the Journal of Child Language 2023, volume 50. Go ahead, you can print it out for free. This is an article I actually enjoyed reading from beginning to end, and that's a long one, but it's really good. Thank you, Cambridge University Press, for making this great article free. And I think when you read this article, it's going to give you some ideas about the future and where we're headed at intervention in the future in this digital age. Now that we are so powerful, what do we do with all of these powerful tools? So I'm going to just give you an example of that. As I've told you before, when I look at this research that they did, they showed these on video, the multimodal cues. And I'm integrating it into my SIS membership too, because I see the value in using the gestures in video. The question is you could easily have a 3D picture of what you're gesturing next to the person doing the video gestures. Do you want to have that 3D picture there? Does that take away from the imagination component? We know that when you don't have the object drumming, for instance, and the drum isn't there, that's one thing. That doesn't produce the outcomes with the object there. Without the object, if I hold out my hand and I drum, 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 that does produce the outcomes. So when we look at in this digital age where you can do anything, you have power to do anything when it comes to creating best practices in pedagogy, do you want the outcome of the 3D drum and the drumming to be going on as you have the person gesturing the drumming on the video? So there's just a lot of things to think about moving forward with how is this going to translate into the digital age of learning. I think that the imagination is really powerful, and that's probably why you get those greater gains without the object being present. Because when children imagine, the whole brain lights up like a light bulb, because a lot of it requires them using from the cerebellum to the prefrontal cortex, this communication back and forth to figure out what the charade is. It's a very high level thinking task when you take away the actual object. It's really exciting stuff. It makes me drool. And it's fun always learning and always honing in on your practice. And it's fun sharing with you where my current struggles are. And my current struggle is with augmentative communication. I want my cake and I want to eat it too. I want that broad-based device and I want thousands of words at that child's fingertips, because I don't want to be a gatekeeper, right? I want to open that up for them. But I also want to make sure to marriage that with multimodal imitation and multimodal cueing throughout every step of the process. So that is my messy middle that I'm in right now. I don't know where your messy middle is, but growing is so much fun. I just wanted to share where my challenge point is. It's fun. I like growing with you. I want you to take all of this information. I want you to make sure to see me at speechpathology.com next month for the Autism Awareness Series every Thursday in the month of April, 12 noon Eastern Time. Show up live and put in the chat box, "Hi, Kelly Bess, I listened to the Preschool SLP podcast." That would really mean the world to me. And now it's time to roll up your sleeves, make the world a better place, one child at a time. You are always going to be first.